How many persons are there in the Godhead? There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory.
In Shorter Catechism, question 6, we come to the doctrine of the Trinity. In the last question, we addressed the fact that there is one God, but now we have a fuller and clearer understanding of who this one God is, that He subsists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This truth with regards to the Trinity is absolutely necessary for our salvation. Without it, there would be no salvation at all. However, our grasp of the doctrine of the Trinity can vary. Some may understand it better than others. Some may understand more about it than others. It is necessary for the Trinity to be true for us to be a Christian, but our ability to expound or explain it, as children especially, may be more limited. And that brings us to, I think, an important distinction. There's a difference between knowing that something is true and knowing how it is true. So we can know that something is true, it's rational, it's biblical, it's logical, it's coherent, but we may not be able to plummet the depths of what it means for how it is true. So I think it's really just bringing us a little bit of humility and helping us remember our own inadequacies and our dependence upon the Lord. Well, this doctrine of the Trinity has been assailed, has been attacked over all the centuries. So this isn't going to go away. From the beginning, there have been many people who have opposed the doctrine of the Trinity, and that will not abate anytime soon. In the ancient church, we had the Arians. Arianism. And the Arians were very strong on the fact that there is one God, but they were also very strong on denying the Trinity. They denied that Jesus himself was God. And they felt like it was more intelligent to think that there's one God and yet to deny the deity of Christ and the Trinity. And they became very influential. They made songs. They made Arian hymns, which they taught the people to sing to try to get the doctrine in their hearts and minds. And God raised up a very important individual called Athanasius. And Athanasius was the one who fought for the truth of God's word, for the deity of Christ. And at a council in 325, the Council of Nicaea, there was a great spiritual war that took place, a debate over these doctrines. And they said that Athanasius was contra mundum, that is, Athanasius against the world and standing for the truth. And the Lord enabled that truth to prevail. But it didn't go away. It's not as if, well, now we're done with that, we can move on. It continued to raise its head. Another example would be in Socinianism. The Socinians. This is during the Reformation era. So during the days of, you know, John Calvin and following that period, there were those who also denied the deity of Christ and the Trinity. And they said that they were trying to stick to the Bible. So they made a big deal about, we believe in the inspiration of Scripture, we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, we want to go back to the Bible, use biblical language, we're hardcore Bible people. And all this philosophical language that's used with the Trinity has corrupted the church, we need to get rid of it and go back to the Scriptures. Well, that sounds very persuasive, but it was very dangerous and very wicked because they were actually denying this very important truth about who God is. And if you come down to the present day, you have the Jehovah Witnesses and you have the Unitarians. And then, of course, in other religions, you've got the Jews. And you have Islam, the Muslims, who also fight strongly against the doctrine of the Trinity. So if you talk to a Muslim person, one of their main arguments against Christianity is with regards to the Trinity. And you'll have people sometimes come to your door, these Jehovah Witnesses, and they'll want to try to persuade you to not believe that Jesus is God. But the Bible makes it very clear that God indeed is triune, that He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see in many, many places throughout the Scripture this truth. One example would be in John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So speaking of Christ, the second person of the Trinity, He was with God, so that means He's distinguished from the Father, and He was God. And so He Himself is one in essence with the Father. And there are other places. So I've summarized it under 3 points. This is actually drawn from a summary by B.B. Warfield. B.B. Warfield says you can put the doctrine of the Trinity into this simple thing. This is something, children, you could probably even memorize. There is one God. That's what we got in our catechism question 5. Number 2, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And then number 3, these three, that is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, are distinct persons. So there is one God. We've already covered that. The Father is God. Now, this we see in many, many places throughout the Scriptures. We've spoken already a little bit about the Son being God. We'll see references like Hebrews 1, verse 8, where He's referred to as God. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is described as God in Acts 5 and other places. They're also distinct persons. So when you're baptized into the name, singular, the name, baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They're three distinct, three separate persons. So what we need to understand is this. We are not saying that God is both one and three at the same time in the same way. That would be contradictory. We're not saying He's one and three in the same way at the same time. But we're saying that there is one undivided essence or being within God. And that there are three persons. A person, there's different ways of describing person. This would be difficult for some of the younger children, though the older children may understand it. A person could be defined as a seat of consciousness. So there is three different persons with distinct seats of consciousness, if you will. So this one undivided essence belongs to all three persons. What God is shared by all. And what may be helpful for us here, to go back to a previous question, question 3. We talked about the attributes of God. We can also talk about the properties. The attributes of God, we said that's who God is. God's holy, God's wise, God's just, God's good, God's true. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. These are attributes of God. All of the attributes of God apply to the one undivided essence of God. That means that the Father is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. The Son is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. The Spirit is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. All three share this one undivided essence. So all the attributes of God apply to all three persons of the Trinity. But then there are also what we sometimes call properties. There are things that distinguish the Father from the Son. The Father is not the Son and not the Spirit. And the Son is not the Father, the Spirit, and so on. They are distinct. And one way that we can distinguish this is the Bible speaks of Christ being the only begotten of the Father. So Christ is begotten of the Father, and the Bible speaks of the Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. Those would be properties. So the Father is the one who begets, the Son is the one who is begotten, the Spirit is the one who proceeds. These would be three different sets of properties. So you can't think in terms of the Father proceeding from the Son and the Spirit, and you can't think of the Spirit being the one who is begotten. These are separate properties. So one way in which this was hashed out came down to a single letter. In that controversy I was describing earlier between Arius and Athanasius, all right. Oops. There are two words. Can anybody see the difference between these two words? The difference is right here. That one letter, the letter I. The whole debate, the whole world hung in the balance over one letter. The first word means the same, it's homo, the same in essence. The same in essence. Whereas the second word, homoi, means similar in essence. Similar in essence. So some people were saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same in essence. He was fully God. Others were saying, no, not the same, only similar. This is what was right, and this is what was unbiblical or wrong. All right. Now, one way of bringing this out, children, is for us to make some points of clarification. We are not saying that God is both one and three. We're saying that He is one in three and three in one. And people come up with all sorts of crazy ideas on how to explain this sort of thing. They'll say, well, think of water. You know, you can have water that you drink, you can have ice, which is frozen, and you can have vapor, like the steam that comes out of the kettle. Well, all three of these are water. One is vapor, one is ice, one is liquid. That's what the Trinity is like. No, that's not what the Trinity is like. That's a wrong analogy. That's a bad illustration, because it's saying that the water comes in three different modes or three different shapes or three different kinds. It would be like saying, well, God appears once as Father, and then He appears, manifests Himself in another occasion as the Son and another occasion as the Spirit. That's heresy. That's modalism. That's not what the Bible teaches. You know, other people will say, well, it's like a man. You know, you think of a man. Here, Pastor has, I have a father, and I have sons, and I have a brother. Same person, three different relationships with other people. Well, that's wrong, because the Bible teaches that there's three persons in the Godhead, not just one with three different relations. So that, too, is a bad illustration, a bad example. Or people will think of, well, you have a mind, a will, and emotions. Well, that's saying that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are three parts of God. That's not what the Bible teaches either. You see, these kinds of illustrations that often pop up are actually teaching us falsehood. We need to stick to what the Bible tells us, that there is one God subsisting in three persons, one in three, three in one. And we are to worship all three persons of the Godhead, and we are to have fellowship with all three persons of the Godhead. Just as we have been baptized into the name of all three persons. In the one of the benedictions that's given to us in the Bible is what? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You see, you have one God in three persons pronouncing his blessing and benediction upon us in that. So this is very important for our salvation. It's also very practical. When we pray to the Father in the name of the Son or through the mediation of the Son and with the help of the Holy Spirit. So what's more basic than prayer? The baby Christian prays. Every Christian prays. It's one of the most basic things. And yet the Trinity is necessary for prayer. We have to be praying to God. We have to be praying through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, even doing the most basic thing. It is necessary for us to have the Trinity to do that. The same thing could be true for our salvation. The Father sends the Son, and the Son is sent by the Father. Jesus dies. Not the Father didn't die on the cross. Jesus, the incarnate Son, takes upon himself the sins of his people and is a sacrifice for his people. And then the Son ascends to heaven and pours out the Holy Spirit on his people so that the Spirit would apply all the things that Christ has accomplished to save his people from their sins. The gospel is a Trinitarian gospel. And so it is very important for us to both see and to understand. One God, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. These three are distinct persons. Or in the words of our catechism, how many persons are there in the Godhead? There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory.